Aloha, everyone. Welcome to the Google Bait Podcast. This is episode 10, Entrepreneurs Don't Do Your Own SEO. And Bill's with me here. And we made it to episode 10 without arguing or fighting or anything. So that's good.
Yeah.
So today we thought we'd talk a little bit about entrepreneurs trying to do their own SEO and the good and the bad and the ugly of all that. And Bill's obviously going to interject his opinion when he feels he should. And I wanted to invite you, if you haven't got our 30-point SEO game-changing checklist, it's totally free. And there's a video training attached to that as well that you can sign up for that's been really popular and helping a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs that haven't really thought about using SEO to gain visibility online. It's been helping open that door and that thought process for them. So you can find that at ericaduran.co/Google Bait Guide. ericaduran.co/Google Bait Guide. And that brings us to our first point of why entrepreneurs shouldn't do their own SEO. That 30-point checklist, although it's very eye-opening and valuable, it really is just the tip of the iceberg, wouldn't you say, Bill?
Well, it's a checklist. It's a thing that you start with and you fill everything in to make sure everything's complete. And then you start doing the real work. But it's not everything. It's not being close to everything.
Yeah, it's something that we're giving away as a free offer to get people to join our email list and hopefully get some high value out of it. We spend a lot of time creating it, but it's by no means anything too in depth for an entrepreneur that an entrepreneur couldn't understand. So yeah, again, if you want to grab that, what a lot of our clients have been using it for is taking it and kind of doing a little mini audit on their own website and seeing what other SEO companies aren't doing for them. So they've been using it to see like, oh my gosh, I paid all this money and to this SEO company and they didn't do anything on this checklist, when that's pretty eye-opening because everything on the checklist is very, very, very basic. So they should have been doing that for you.
Well, I'll interject with one other thing. That checklist is broad-based. It's everything for the website, but it also applies to every web page. So it's not just one keyword for website. It should be like, for instance, you should have a keyword in mind for every single web page that you create. And it's a good guide. It's a good starting point. It'll tell you everything you need to do on your site and everything you need to cover on your page. It's a good checklist. But that's just the start of the SEO process.
Right. Just one tiny piece of the pie. And another reason that I think entrepreneurs should, you know, not try to do their own SEO is just the time involved and the opportunity cost. It's just too much for an entrepreneur to learn when you're trying to run all the other aspects of your business. It's not something that is easy to learn, like perhaps building a premium package. If you want to learn how to build a premium package, it's fairly straightforward for an entrepreneur once they have a coach or mentor helping them with putting those packages together. It's not something simple like that an entrepreneur would want to learn, like how to market themselves on Twitter. It's not like a one-off thing like that. So it's just going to take, for your SEO to be decent, it's just going to take so much of your time. It's going to be like having a whole other job, I would say.
When you say that entrepreneurs don't know much about SEO, they don't. So far, the customers that we've gotten, they try, but for the most part, they should be busy doing their business. If they're trying to create SEO perfect pages in order to run stuff to their site, they're not running their site. They're not running their business. It's imperative that good businesses are run by good entrepreneurs. And that somebody who's trying to do their own SEO is probably not the best entrepreneur. Not to be negative, but if they're spending all the time trying to get to number one on Google or something like that, they're not really paying attention to their business. And that's not really what the business is about. I wouldn't expect me to do something I'm not good at, like marketing or like Eric is doing right now, because I'm just not good at it. I'm good at what I do, which is programming and SEO stuff.
What am I doing right now?
I don't know what you're doing right now. No, you go out and you do. I hate social media with a passion. I feel like when people follow me, I feel like I'm being stalked. I know that's all wrong, and I'm not an introvert either. But to me, if I want to talk to somebody, I get on the phone and talk to them. This whole social media thing and tweeting and everything else, it's just, to me, it's just not right. But you take everything second. It's not. We have an entire world full of stalkers now, stalking everybody and following them on different things, and it's just silly to me. But you seem to like it. You seem to excel at it. So for me to go out
there, I like it because I am an introvert, and then I don't have to talk to people because I can talk to them through social media.
Well, that's just very different on that respect. I also don't like things being in print out there that can haunt me forever, like this podcast.
So anyways, next point. Did you have anything else to add? Okay. Well, what we've seen is entrepreneurs also, they usually use a website building tool like WordPress or GoDaddy website builder or Wix or Squarespace. And those are great if you want to get a website up for humans to read, to try to sell to humans but you're going to have to either hustle really hard all day long to get humans to read that sales site, or you're going to have to pay for traffic. So entrepreneurs writing with these bulky website builders, that's not the route to go for SEO perfect pages. That's the route to go to get your business up quickly, get landing pages up, and start getting humans to start getting to know, like, and trust you and learn more about you and what you do on the web. But it's not necessarily the route if you're trying to get to the top of Google for your keywords or your terms.
Website builders are great to put your ideas on paper. Website builders are great to get your ideas on the web. Companies like Wix and Squarespace they promote SEO, this, that, and the other thing, but they're really...
They're SEO friendly, but that's how they advertise themselves, but they're really not.
No, they're really not. If you're in a highly competitive market, or if you're not in a highly competitive market, using Wix or Squarespace is really kind of a waste of time because they're not SEO friendly. WordPress is not SEO friendly. If you want to see the difference, load a Googlebait page, then go load your WordPress site. Googlebait will always come up instantly. Your site will probably take 2 or 3 seconds. It's estimated that people will leave your site if it takes more than 3 seconds to load. So right out of the bat, Wix, Squarespace, and WordPress, you're doing yourself a disfavor, or whatever that word is.
And
you're
really
hurting yourself.
With service, but when you're talking about putting your page in and then putting a Googlebait page in, you're talking about the Google tool that tells you if you got 100% or not.
Right. Well, that's just part of it. It's mostly the speed, though. It's the speed, and the Google gives you extra points for, like, if your site is actually well-written. If you go to, I think it's on my checklist, if you check your HTML on WordPress, Wix, or Squarespace, you're going to find that it's got tons of errors because it's generated on the fly from a template, and the template may not ever be correct in the first place. So right out of the bat, you're starting with errors on your website, and you can't correct anything because you didn't write it. And then you go to GoDaddy, and they've got even more tools, which I can't go into how many tools they've got. But you're also on a shared hosting system, which is overly shared. So you're competing for bandwidth and speed with probably 1,000 other websites on the same server. It just, by the time you go down that route, you're never going to score very well with Google.
Right. And again, all my 5 websites, my human websites, human-friendly websites, are on WordPress. All my sales sites, my membership site, everything's on WordPress. But then I don't rely on that for getting traffic from Google. I rely on the Googlebait perfect SEO pages for that saved me from having to buy Facebook ads and hustle all day long in Facebook groups and lurk around like a stalker, like you said.
That's the whole point to having Googlebait, is that I don't want to rebuild your site. It's too expensive for you, and it's a lot of work. And then
there's no need.
Right. Leave your site and WordPress, leave your site at GoDaddy. Wix and Squarespace are more trouble, but you can still leave it there. You just have to set up a subdomain someplace. And then basically what happens is Googlebait pages do really well. You can be very focused and you can get people to go to that site, which links back to your WordPress site and allows you to do your sales.
And that's a good freedom for an entrepreneur to use website builders, because you could things happen so fast and you want to be able to change things on the fly. You want to add a new package or you want to change your pricing, and you're not going to want to learn how to code to do that. So yes, definitely use these website building tools, but don't depend on that site to stand alone and get you to the top of Google. Like I said, you're going to have to hustle a lot or speak at events or run webinars or meet people in Facebook groups or pay for ads. Basically, there's no other way around it unless you have an SEO strategy outside of WordPress and these other builders.
You're like a billboard on the 91 freeway in LA.
Yeah.
That's a good way to drive people to your WordPress site.
Yeah, but you can't click from a billboard.
No, but people will never find you using a Wix or a Squarespace site. It just is never going to happen unless they have the exact name of your domain, which goes
right
back to the billboard.
Which you're hustling. If you say it on a podcast, go to ericadran.co, then that's you hustling to get people to your site. That's not Google helping you.
Yeah, it's not Google or helping you.
Yeah. And another thing entrepreneurs do, I do it myself. I skip all the keyword research because I think I know what people are searching for, and I think that obviously people are going to be searching for this word, and I'm usually wrong. And there's usually so many other words that are better because they're not as competitive on Google, and so you can kind of get in the back door with these other words and get even more searches.
That's 100% true. Every single person who's come to us so far has picked their keywords, and they're wrong. Right out of the chute.
Well, they guess it. Before we do the research, we ask them to give us some words that they think people are finding them from, and that it's never right.
Well, it's either the right, it might be a proper keyword, but there might be so many people out there that are trying to compete for that keyword that no, they're not going to get found. And sometimes they're actually writing things on their site thinking that people are actually searching for a keyword. There's less than 10 searches per month, like worldwide, 10 searches per month.
Right.
So the keyword research is key. If you don't do the keyword research, you don't understand the reports, you don't know how to do it, chances are you're wasting your time building your pages. And then the other thing too is they're focusing so much on their homepage, they forget about everything else on their site. They're trying to get everybody to come to their homepage. But that's really not the way to do it either. You need to have some depth to your site. You need to get your keywords it's like putting all your ducks in a row. You got to have your keywords in a row. You got to know what the site's about. And it's a site. It's not just one page. And then build some depth to your site.
Right. And I've seen you do the keyword research, and it takes you, a keyword researching expert, it takes you a couple days solid. And I know entrepreneurs don't have that kind of time or attention span to do that, or the 30 years of knowledge in this. So it's really a waste of time for them to be doing that themselves or even attempting it. It's just such a big project to do it right. And they do guess. I mean, some words are obvious, like obviously I'm going to have a keyword on my website as of business coach. I mean, obviously, but there's just so many other words that I could use and kind of backdoor to rise up Google, because everyone else who's a business coach is using that keyword, and it's kind of, they cancel each other out. When everyone's using the same word, it doesn't help any. It doesn't help.
If you're using the obvious keyword, which is business coach, you're never going to overtake a position where you'll be found on Google.
Right.
So it's just too many websites out there, say business coach, too many people are written websites that are using that keyword. There's sites out there where they've been business coaches for 30 years and their SEO has been done correctly. It's going to be almost impossible to overcome those people. So yeah, you start with less competitive words and you build up your site from there. Eventually, if everything goes well and you're building up your site and your page rank is coming up, you might actually be able to take over a high position with Business Coach. But to start there, you're never going to get there. If you start with that, you're never going to get there.
Right. And we see that a lot with clients that are in the weight loss, health kind of genre. There's so many Cosmopolitan magazine ads about losing 10 pounds in 10 days and all that stuff that, you know, they're never going to compete at that level. So we have to find other words that are more leveraged for them. And I just can't see any entrepreneur I know having the attention span. Not that it's bad. Entrepreneurs are supposed to be doing other things. So I can't see them having the attention span or the knowledge to learn all this and then to do the keyword research that's needed to find these hidden gem.
Well, I do have a tendency to beat that horse to death. It's something I really don't enjoy doing. It's not something I like to do. I hate doing keyword research. It is a lot. If to do it right, I mean, everybody can go basically find someplace and get a list of keywords and estimate the number of people who are searching per month and so on. But is that really what's going to do your site any well? Even after I find keywords that look like hidden gems, you still have to go research and find out who the competition is, find out what you're up against, find out how long they've been in business, find out what their page rank is, and so forth and so on. It does take an awful lot of time. And I can't imagine most entrepreneurs taking that much time to simply figure out what a good keyword is to write a web page. And even if they do it, there's still not probably going to be on the right focus. There's so many other things that come into play.
Right. And entrepreneurs going to Fiverr and getting the little $5 SEO keyword service, that's a waste of $5.
Trust me, if I could find somebody that I could outsource this to, especially for $5, I'd let them do it all day long.
Yeah. That is just not going to work. They're using some tool, I guess, to generate the keywords that fast. And then they're not, have a human analyzing it. It's just spitting out keywords.
Yeah, you're right about the one with the magazine articles. If you're into healthcare products, you're competing against Cosmopolitan, you're competing against Health and Fitness, you're competing against all these magazines and all these writers. They're all forced to write articles every single month. They publish it on their sites and people don't read them or do read them. I don't know. But I've seen like Home and Garden. They've got like 2.5 million followers and they're not that, or 2.5 million backlinks. It's ridiculous. You can't compete against people like that, sites like that. Mm-hmm. So it's tough to figure out keywords that'll actually allow people to actually find you, because if you try to go up against those magazines, you might be 30 or 40 pages down on the search before anybody even finds you. So it's a tough thing to get into with those guys. So again, just because you think you found a keyword that's a good keyword, it's not the end of the search. You got to go basically research everything.
Right.
Again, anybody wants to do this for me? Just kidding. But it does take time.
And another reason we thought of was that entrepreneurs can't watch out for negative SEO. They either don't have the time to keep on that, or they don't have the proper tools to kind of catch hackers and people putting bad backlinks on their site and doing all kinds of things. Do you want to talk more about the experiences we have had with this?
Well, I'll give you one example. We had one person come over to us from
HostGator.
Yeah. It was last August, they had a flood in Houston. And HostGator, I don't know what the heck they were doing.
They literally were underwater, literally.
Yeah, the servers were underwater, so I don't know where they put all the sites. But there was a lot of hacking going on. Hacking, I mean, servers, I don't know where they put us. Put not just us, but put a lot of people. And I was getting people coming to me with saying, okay, my site's been hacked. Can you fix this? So I fixed the sites. And then when I go back and look a little later on, there's like 400, 500, 600 links to this site from all these weird things, like pharmaceutical drug companies from overseas, Russian
And this is like
brides.
A professional organizer website that just got hacked, and then they have tons of links to drug companies and Russian brides and all this stuff.
Well, it was phenomenal because what they did was they attempted to hijack her site. And when they hijacked the site, even if it was, I think it was for a couple of days, maybe a week, I don't know how long it was. But what they ended up doing was they hijacked her site, and they did all these hundreds of links all over the web that were directed to her site, so that it would go to another site to sell products. It was probably on an email list. But remember, these links don't go away. Once you have a whole bunch of bad links like that, Google sees them forever. Even when links go away, Google is still dinking you. They're going to negatively dink you for those kind of links. And you can kind of get rid of them, but for the most part, they're going to stay around for a long, long, long time. So unless you have the tools to actually see backlinks and know that you've got the backlinks, you're not going to know they're there. And you're just beating your head against the wall to figure out why you're not doing well on Google, why your page rank is so low. It's probably because you've got bad links that may have been around because the hostgator went underwater for a couple of weeks and you got hijacked on your server. And from that point forward, unless you go in and actually fix those problems, it's going to haunt you forever. So
another thing with negative SEO is you can get kicked off of your email service provider. So you can get kicked off ActiveCampaign or MailChimp because they're hijacking your email address that's connected to your site as well. And if that is part of your email service provider, I've seen people get their whole email list shut off because of some negative SEO practices.
I forgot about that one. Couple of times the actual hosting company shut the site down for spamming. When
you're right. We didn't send out any emails for a month. Oh, but you're a big time spammer now. What?
Yeah, you got shut off for spamming, and that's the only way you know that your site's been hijacked and somebody's taken over your MailChimp account and sent out 10,000 emails to various people. Or sometimes I get customers emailing me saying, "Stop emailing me," or something like that. I mean, it's because somebody's hijacked their name and is sending out, you know, from so and so such a site to 10,000 people, and it's pissing the people off, and they're complaining back to the original person, stop emailing. Well, it wasn't that person. And that's all really bad stuff too. So,
well, yeah, then all your promotional emails and your newsletters go to spam for the customers that have signed up legit on your list. Your email is just kind of banned, and your good emails are going to start going to spam.
Well, it gets worse than that because you can actually be blackballed. Your IP address can be blackballed by like Apple or Google or somebody like that, where all of a sudden Google and Apple will no longer take your emails. So now that you're blackballed, your email just gets automatically rejected. Mm-hmm. So that's really a pain in the butt to get that off there.
That happened to one of our clients too.
One
in Colorado, yeah.
Yeah, I end up with these problems all day long, and I don't remember them because I'm dealing with them all. But it happens all the time. Yeah, if your MailChimp gets hijacked, you're going to get blackballed by certain companies. Then you got to go through and find out who you're blackballed by, which, again, is more time.
Yeah, more research and more time wasted that entrepreneurs don't have.
The other thing, too, is when your site is new, it's not unusual for you to end up in people's spam folders, because you don't have any records yet of what it is. So once you're actually out of the spam folder and you're actually sending emails and everything's going well, one hijack or one email spoof or one thing like that, and now you're back in the spam folders again.
And I thought of this. I just want to touch on this a little bit, that being an entrepreneur, especially if you're a solopreneur and your main activity for the day is getting visible online and meeting new people and sharing your message and sharing what you do. If that's your main activity for the day, which it should be, and you have this bad energy because you're trying to learn SEO and you're frazzled and you're dealing with negative SEO, or you're dealing with getting locked into this blackballed and your email's not going out, like, this all drains your energy, and the energy is what attracts clients to you. So if you're bogging yourself down with all this SEO nonsense and not outsourcing it, it's a good chance you're not going to have that many clients attracted to you just because you're in this whirlwind of SEO stuff. And another thing I noticed is entrepreneurs, they just focus on getting traffic. They don't focus on getting high quality traffic. And that kind of goes back to the whole keyword thing, but it also goes back to the way that they're positioning themselves, branding their niche market, their ideal clients. Kind of goes back to that as well.
I'm not an expert at that, because I've seen people where they go to Facebook or something like that, and they put a kitten or something on their site, or their kitten on their link, and somebody clicks on that kitten, and they go to somebody else's page that has nothing to do with cats. It doesn't do you any good to get traffic to your site. You're trying to get the right kind of traffic to your site. So I don't know how to explain it except to say that if you're trying to get people to buy something from you, you basically need to sell them whatever it is you're trying to sell them, and not about cute pictures of kittens or women in bathing suits or anything like that. It's just not going to, it's not going to do anything for you. It just, bad traffic is not going to help you with your sales.
Right. The numbers matter, but they need to be the right numbers.
Well, the numbers matter, but if you're getting a bunch of bounces, it's just going to hurt your site.
Right.
So getting traffic to your site is not really the key. Getting quality traffic to your site is really what you're trying to do.
Right. And one thing I would say is that the really good SEO tools out there are pretty expensive and pretty complicated. And I just can't justify entrepreneurs investing in them when they just have one or two websites. What do you think about that?
The SEO tools are a bit expensive. The problem I've got is there's so many of them. I'd go broke if I tried to buy all the SEO tools in the world. There's some free ones out there. There's some that you have to pay for. And they are expensive. And they are expensive just to justify one or two sites. So I agree with you. It's really not worth the investment to go out there and purchase a bunch of SEO tools. They probably aren't going to help you anyways, because they only give you certain keys. They don't really help you. I don't know how to say this. There's no quick formula. There's no checklist. There's no way to cover everything that will get you. There's no set formula to just pop in front of Google and say, okay, here I am. I want to be number one. It doesn't work that way. The only way to be number one in that case is to buy AdWords. It's complicated. It really is.
Well, so there's no tools that are going to happen. They're not objective. They're subjective. So there's so many moving pieces, and it's like a big puzzle you have to put together. And these tools only do one-off things. It's not the full picture.
That's not the full picture. There's one that I had years ago. It was called Link Magic or something. And you go in there and you put in your website, and it comes up with all these things, and it automatically goes out there and posts a bunch of links. It sounds really cool, but it never worked. Some other ones, there's some keyword research tools that will come back and say, you know, this is your keywords. Well, they don't work either because it's not even close to being as much stuff as you really need to research for it. You need to know your competition, and there's no keywords. It's hard to explain. The expensive tools aren't going to be the full picture. They'll only give you a piece of the puzzle.
And I think the biggest thing to kind of wrap all this up is just that the idea that SEO is never done. It's not something you can, like we said, put on a checklist when you're an entrepreneur, here's your SEO checklist, and this is the end-all, be-all checklist. And you can set it and forget it, because your competitors are going to leapfrog you that way up on the Google rankings. And it's just something that's never done. That's why we have our master program, because with that program, a new perfect SEO page goes out every 3 days. We keep an eye on the negative SEO. We do all this other stuff, and it really is never done. And I know I haven't met an entrepreneur that is so, you know, fascinated and into SEO and doing a really, you know, good job being an entrepreneur and selling whatever they're supposed to be selling.
Well, it's, you can say it in one way, and that is Google likes fresh content. So in a way, SEO can never be done. Because if Google's always going out for fresh content, they're always looking for trendy content, they're always looking for something that is relevant to the search. If your stuff ages and gets older and older and older, and somebody comes along with fresher content, they're going to leapfrog you, and there's just no way around it. So no, SEO is really never done. And the other thing about it is SEO isn't about one site. It's about all the pages on your site. Some pages do well, some pages won't do well. Some pages may do well for a short amount of time. Some pages may get kicked. There's so many things that can go wrong with a page, and all those pages add to your site. So it's, you're right, SEO is really never done. As long as you've got a website out there, people are going to be trying to overcome your whatever you've done. They're going to try to one-up you. Being a number one position on Google means you'll make money. If you're on number, you know, 472, nobody will ever find your page. So it is something you can't just set and forget. It's something you got to work on all the time.
But SEO is, I think, a really important thing for entrepreneurs to understand the concept of and how it works. Just on the surface level, don't do it yourself. But I know some entrepreneurs paying $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a month in Facebook ads. And I mean, they're saying they have multiple six-figure businesses, but when you're paying out $50,000 in Facebook ads, it's not really a great net profit from all that. So it is a way that you can really leverage Google's organic search and not have to pay for ads endlessly if you just get the SEO going your way on your sites.
I know a couple of SEO companies who are charging $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month to do the SEO
to keep people on top. Yeah.
Yeah, of course they won't publish their customer list, so you don't really know if they can do it. But you're going to pay the money one way or the other. Or some companies spend millions of dollars a month on Google Ads. AT&T is one. AT&T cell phones. They spend millions of dollars a month on Google Ads. I don't know how their SEO is. Actually, I never really looked. I was just surprised how much money they spend just on one company paying Google every single month just to put their ads out.
And one funny thing I saw entrepreneurs doing, well, the ones that were around that were attracted to my style because they're a lot like me, is years ago, I would obsess over the Yoast SEO tool in WordPress where it gives you a green light if your page is good. I would, even my Contact Us page, I would obsess about that. And then I saw my clients doing the same thing because we all have a bit of an obsessive compulsive disorder. And in the end, that was such a waste of time. It doesn't really do much.
Well, in a perfect world, it should. But I'm nothing against Yoast. The guy who wrote the Yoast seems to know what he's talking about. He seems like he's a fairly good coder, but it's just a placebo, because as soon as you start getting into WordPress and as soon as you start putting all the stuff in there, it's not real SEO for the most part. It's just to make the end user basically buy the package and feel good about their SEO. As long as you're on WordPress, your pages aren't really ever going to be SEO perfect. There's just no way to really do it. I tried for a couple of months to take Erica's WordPress site and make it so that I was stripping WordPress. I was ripping the crap out of WordPress trying to make this thing perfect. And at the end of the day, it cannot be done. So it led to one conclusion. Google bait.
So the SEO, that's how Google bait evolved, if you want to hear about that. I think it's episode 2. But the Yoast thing, it's, you need something like that on your site. I took Yoast off because the red light, green light thing was driving me crazy. So I got now all-in-one SEO tool for WordPress, which I like it a lot because you can change all your titles, tags, and descriptions on your page. On your view all pages, instead of going to each and every page and having to edit every single page, there you can go to your your all view all pages and do it all from the one screen, just down kind of like a spreadsheet format. And that saves so much time to not click back and forth between all the pages. But what that, I mean, you do have to have it, because if you share any posts or pages on social media, that's the description that shows up and that's the title that shows up when you share a link. So you need it, but it's really, you're fooling yourself if those tools are helping your SEO in any great way.
Actually, I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay.
Everything you do to improve the quality of the SEO on your site helps your SEO in some way or another. So even though
you're WordPress, obsessing over the green lights wasn't helping.
No, that was just silly. but by putting the descriptions, your alt tag, by writing pages on your site, by writing your blogs, by doing all that stuff, then trying to fill all those little things in with the SEO, it doesn't hurt you. It actually does help you. It won't get you to the top of Google, but it helps you. And you remember, your page rank, your site ranking is based on your page rank. So the higher you can move that page rank up by doing all the SEO stuff, the better off you're going to be. And then you help your Google Weight pages succeed also, because even the best written Google Weight page is probably never going to overcome number one position on a popular keyword until your page rank comes up.
Right. And I mean, you need those tools, because if you do, like I said, if you share a link anywhere on the internet, it's going to pull in that description information. I have clients asking me all the time, I pasted this link on Facebook and all this weird description thing came up. Where is that coming from? I was like, well, it's coming from your Yoast or your all-in-one SEO tool or whatever you're using. So they had trouble figuring out where that information was coming from. Yeah, I agreed that it helps. Every little bit helps. But the time factor versus result factor with that was not a good use of my time.
No, well, it's, again, though, I always encourage customers to go ahead and fill in the information, to put the alt tags into your pictures, to use a good keyword phrase in your title and so forth, because even the little things like that are going to help your page rank eventually. And the higher the page rank, the better you're going to come out on Google search.
Right.
So, and I think it is worth the time.
A lot of online entrepreneurs think that filling out those things on Yoast or all-in-one SEO, they think that's the SEO. They think that's the meat of it all. And that's not, barely scratching the surface.
It's a start.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like our checklist is a start. And if you want to grab that checklist to get a start on your SEO journey, you can go to ericaduran.co/Googlebait guide. Like I said, there's also a video training on there that explains a lot. If you're having trouble visualizing the concept of Googlebait, a lot of people really appreciated some of the graphics we had in that video training.
I agree. if you stick to the 30-point checklist on your site, and then you come to us later on and say, okay, I want to do something with Google, I'll really appreciate it if all your stuff in your site is on that 30-point checklist.
Right.
So far, nobody who's come to us has actually bothered to they may have downloaded it, but I don't think anybody's actually read it.
No, they read it. Like I said, they were doing it as an audit to what their other SEO company didn't do. They're like, well, this isn't done, and this isn't done, and this isn't done.
Yeah, but it's still not done. I mean, I cringe when I go through people's sites sometimes, some of the stuff they've done. And I'm not going to give examples because everybody will think I'm picking on them. But it's if you read the checklist, try to do something with the checklist. Reading it is not going to help your SEO.
Yeah, and I don't think we've mentioned this on a lot of the other shows, that if you're wondering about Google Bait and if it's right for you, you can completely reach out and sign up for a complimentary Google Bait SEO strategy session. You can talk to me or you can talk to Bill, and we can look at your site and look at your competition and give you a little bit of idea of which direction to go from that. And it's completely free. You can just go to googlebait.com, and there's a link all over that website. There's a blue button that you can pick to go ahead and book your free strategy session for SEO. Anything else, Bill?
Good with that. I do rip your site apart, though. And I do look at
your He's not trying to hurt your feelings, but he will.
And I will not try to, I don't want to hurt your feelings. And I just tell you like it is, and nothing negative ever hurts your sight. If I tell you what it is, you can fix it on your own. Please go do it. But we'll see. That would be mean. But I will be happy to tell you what you can do to improve your site, what you can do to be more competitive with your competitors, and if you're a good customer or not. If you're a good candidate, I should say, for Google Bait. Or you can talk to Erica. And she'll just make me do it. She won't hurt your feelings.
I won't hurt your feelings. But I would be more, when I look at it, I'm more interested in, okay, I know Google Bait's going to get traffic to your site. So what happens then? I want to make sure your funnels are set up. I want to make sure your landing pages are set up. I want to make sure it matches the ideal client that you want. So that would be more my spin if you spoke to me on the phone about this stuff.
We really should do a commercial. Call it PC versus Mac.
Yeah. Well, I know that they're going to get the traffic, so I want them to convert the traffic, because what good is getting thousands of people to their website when they're not going to make any sales or make any, you know, get any coaching clients or whatever they're doing if they're not going to sell their weight loss shakes. We want to make sure that when the traffic gets there that you can convert these people.
Well, I know you're right, because every time, without exception, I write a Google Bait page and I'm looking for a call to action, I'm looking for a link, I'm looking for something. This Google Bait page is written for a reason. It's trying to get people to your site. And people are like, okay, you're at the Google Bait page, now what? It's like, I'm not, no, that's not my job.
We have to invite them to take the next step.
Yeah, but for some reason, people just think it magically happens on the web. If somebody comes to your site, they're going to buy something, and it never really happens that way. So you need to have the closing written correctly, or something has to be done on your site before you get to the Google Bait pages. And that's where Erica comes in. She's the master salesperson.
Thank you. Well, I think we should wrap up this episode. It's getting a little long. We thought this would be really fast, but it's turned into a longer episode. And we made it to episode 10 without killing each other. So that's good.
Well, we don't really have very many fights.
All righty. Well,
there's mahalo. Nothing to really fight about.
Yeah, mahalo for listening. Thank you so much. And if you want us to talk about a particular topic, you can email aloha@ericaduran.co, and your question or topic, we could answer it on the show. That would be great, you know, time saver for us. We want to talk about things that people are interested in. So we would love to hear your questions or any ideas that you have you want us to cover. Again, you can email that to aloha@ericaduran.co. Mahalo for listening, and see you next time. Aloha.
Thank you.